You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
What a weekend, Patrick Royce.
There's many things to be disappointed in. There's many things to be disappointed in, but you and I were just talking about something to celebrate. The baseball speed-up rules. The fact that Major League Baseball did something smart is shocking, but It's amazing how successful this thing is. As you said, you can watch a ball game again.
Yes.
It's safe to watch baseball again.
I can watch a Yankees-Red Sox game.
It's not going to take 7 hours. Being a subscriber to the MLB package that I am, the Twins were between innings. Twins eighth inning or something. Probably not seventh inning. Maybe the bottom of the sixth. Going the top of the seventh or something. I went back and looked at the five or six noon start, the ones that started at 12:10.
Yep.
There was maybe six or seven of them, and four of them were in the postgame show. They'd already done the wrap-up. They were doing the postgame show.
You have to change your clicking completely.
Oh, yes, it does. Sometimes you say, well, now I got to look at my phone and see what the score was on that game because it's over already. It's like the White Sox and the Astros or stuff like that.
And there's no downside.
No, there's nothing.
There's nothing wrong
to complain about. Some guy might, this was hilarious. When Ohtani and Trout had that at bat, right, to end the World Baseball Classic, and all these pompous-ass national baseball writers, this is what baseball's going to be missing. These dramatic, you should let these breathe a little. You got to let these at-bats breathe. There's 2,400 games, you morons, who breathe. They weren't breathe. They were being on life support. People were pumping their chest into the at-bats, for God's sakes. It's the greatest thing ever. And don't change it. Don't let them complain. Don't let them say it should be 17 seconds. 15 works.
Oh, yeah.
15 works.
It's fine.
And then, who was it? Was it Bob Nightingale? No, I don't know who it was. One of them said, Trevor Plouffe said, I don't mind it for the regular season, but they shouldn't have it in the postseason. The length of postseason baseball games is the number one problem in baseball.
It'll be better.
Why doesn't anybody watch the World Series anymore? Because you can't stand it. First of all, you got 20 minutes of foreplay before the game is supposed to start at 7 and it starts at 7:25, right?
Yes.
And then it's 10:15 and it's in the fifth inning. And this year, it's going to be 10:15, and it's going to be in the eighth inning, and we're going to watch it.
Yes. 100%.
You cannot change that rule. And you know what else? hockey should play 3-on-3 overtime in the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? The hockey people right now are reeling with this analysis from Mr. Puck.
Yeah, but let's do it. Come on. Like, we can play all season, regular season. When the women, when our whatever their names are, our pro team.
The Whitecaps. Yeah, they play 3-on-3.
They went into overtime. They went overtime for the world championship, and they played 3-on-3, and it was great.
Do you know what this means, too, Pat? The Twins can move all their games back to 7 o'clock now.
Yeah, if they want to.
They don't have to play those 6 o'clock starts now.
6:40.
And the World Series games, not only will they not be as boring because of all the BS, but they're going to get done at a decent time.
We won't have to hear about the poor kids on the East Coast can't watch a ball game.
You know who would have loved this in Sid's world? The shut-ins. The shut-ins would have loved these crickets.
Because the shut-ins have a tendency to nod off about 9:30 or so.
What about the shut-ins?
At least they can watch the game to the 6 innings, 7 innings. The shut-ins are celebrating. I should go.
You should find the shut-ins.
I should go to one of the old folks' homes and say, got any shut-ins here to watch baseball?
I miss that.
If my mother-in-law was still alive, I could do that. She watched the Twins games faithfully, but I don't think she ever got
I think in the memory of Sid, you should go find the shut-ins and see what they think of the speedy games.
The trouble is, in modern times, I don't think you can make shut-in jokes, can you?
Well, hold on a second, though. Considering your age, though,
I think you probably can. Maybe I can say I'm scouting.
Yes.
I'm scouting the old folks.
Younger columnist would have a problem.
But right. My fellow shut-ins, I can say. Something like that. They would love it. It's so good. It's astounding. It's incredible that the games are going to start at 6:40 again. You know, for the newspaper guys, you're going to make the first run, for God's sakes, you know.
I know.
We got these ungodly early deadlines, but you can still make them. I wonder if they're going to say, you know, I wonder if Bally's going to, well, Bally's not paying, so I guess they don't have to worry about it. But I wonder if they're going to complain, hey, we're losing that 9-10 audience. The game's over.
Actually, you know what?
Go back to starting at 7.
Yeah.
Go back to
starting. I didn't think of that. That's a great point.
They might do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, I thought this would be good. I liked it from the start. I had no idea it'd be this good. I had no clue.
No, in fact, the other day, the Whiteys and Astros, I said, they're playing like it's 2022. And the game was, then I looked, and it was like 254 or something like that. And last year it would have been 340 because they were just dragging everything out And they had other great stuff too. Waving it off. You know, unless it's so clear.
What's it? 15 seconds now though.
15 seconds. You gotta go instead of which eliminates the guy's finger came off the base at second base play, which was never intended to do.
Right. So. No, which I didn't realize that they were going to that, and it's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
I also think that there's a case to be made that the game, it's not just crisper because it's quicker, but I think the fielding is better because guys are more engaged.
Oh, yeah, they're on their toes. And here's the, you know, what they did, what shocked me, is they anticipated how people would try to delay the game, too. Yeah. I mean, they had the throw over to the steals have become almost too easy. You know, stolen bases, there's no adventure. I heard Sunday that going into Sunday, base runners were 33 out of 37. They're still not stealing that much. But it's the fact that they can't throw over has really made the steals easy. But by not letting them throw over, you eliminated that as a stalling tactic.
Correct.
You know, if the guy wanted to slow down the game, he could have told him he wanted to review every play or something and then wave it off, knowing he wasn't going to use a challenge.
The only way to slow the game down now is to say that your pitch comm is malfunctioning,
which
I saw like 5 times.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't hear anything.
Yeah. You don't know if that's true or not, but I think Salvi's done that two or three times.
Yeah. He's 100%.
So Salvi might be cheating, but if it becomes a problem, I heard something though. Did Bremer say this or somebody say this? If it happens more than twice in an inning, they're not, you know, you can't do it anymore. You just got to call your signals and you're back on the clock, right?
No, you're right. They anticipated a ton of stuff.
Yeah, because they basically said, you can't trust Falvey world. You can't trust the modern baseball geniuses not try to figure it out. And the Gallo thing, which he's upset about, that's okay. I mean, here's left field. You got 120 feet out there, and we're going to put the right fielder there. And we saw it. The right fielder kicked the ground ball.
And Gallo was very indignant. He didn't get a base hit.
Well, he hit it. I'll say one thing. He hit it yesterday where he didn't have to worry about it. That second, did you see the second home run he hit? It looked like the one he hit in the Futures game 10 years ago.
He might be good here, man.
Well, we'll see. I'm not going to go that excited.
Decent here. No, but I'm just saying.
Well, as long as the rule, I was afraid he was going to hit first, which would have driven me crazy. If you bat him seventh, okay.
Well, the thing I like is he'll strike out a ton, but I like this fact. He's a good fielder.
Yeah, he is. And they're all talking about, well, he's new to the position. He's not new to the position. He's played in a lot of games.
He came up as a third baseman.
They got him. It's BS. That they got him to play in the outfield. They got him to play first base because they knew Kirilloff wasn't going to play, and it's horse crap that they keep saying that. But I said it from the beginning. They got him to play first base because who knows if Kirilloff might as well get used to the idea he's going to spend 2 months in St. Paul before he ends up here trying to get his swing back, if he comes back.
And he might not come back.
No, he might not come back.
This whole thing about I have pain. The pain tell. If you can't, you know, like there's no guarantee his career is not just completely derailed.
No, that's true. That is true, which would really be unhappy.
But I'm so happy. I was so baseball's back. I knew it. This was the baseball of my youth.
Yes, right. How about this is baseball of Yogi Berra?
Yes.
Oh, here's a pitch. It's up there. I'm going to swing at it. Three.
Don Larson, perfect game, right? 2-0, you said.
Yeah, 3-0 count, Yogi.
Yep. Punk.
Yeah, right. Swing at the pitch. And
love it.
It is working out, to say the least. So, anyway, now they're in Miami and get to see Louie, and that'll be another good three game. But you and I both celebrated this, and we couldn't believe it. Buxton played Sunday after he dived into the base and got dirt in his face on Saturday. I said, we both said, there's no way he's playing Sunday because he was down for 10 seconds or 20 seconds. But he looks like he's telling him, okay, you're not going to put me in the outfield, but let me play. You know, let me play. Right?
Yeah.
I think he wants to play. So. And he's swinging the bat, unlike he did last year, which was just swing from the arse every pitch and strike out like Sano. He's actually put the ball in the play to right field a couple of times, and won the game basically on Thursday with the triple in the gap.
I'm telling you, it's three games, but the way they're playing now is, to me, smart.
Yeah.
But like they're playing a much smarter. This whole thing of the home run, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know,
just wait for the home run.
Just wait for the home run is not going to work. And in the field, they're playing smart. And the most important thing is, for the most part, the pitching, pretty damn good.
Yeah. Well, the bullpen.
Kansas City's terrible. I will give you that.
Which surprised me. Kansas City was, now spring training doesn't mean much, but Kansas City was like 20-8 or something, and playing, you know, they were getting themselves all pumped up about the young guys, but and Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be a great player, but that pitcher they beat yesterday, Brad Keller, I liked him a lot last year a couple of times when I saw him pitch, and he was terrible. So yeah, it's good. Let's go and get home, don't dally when you're going home if you want to watch the ball game on the way, don't stop and pick up dinner and stuff. It'll be the sixth inning at 7:15 if you don't watch yourself. They start at 5:40 today. So
yeah, in fact, did you see what Arise did in his first four games so far?
No.
9 for 16.
Is he? Okay, I know he had two hits each of the first 2 days. So
9 for 16.
9 for 16, and we aren't complaining. We're wishing him the best, right?
Yeah.
I don't think, did they win one? Did they?
Yeah, they've won one.
One out of the three.
I think they're 1-3.
Anyway, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. And best thing that happened all weekend, for sure. You didn't go to the Wolves game.
No.
Do you know what the final point spread on that game was?
We talked about this on Mackey and Judd today. Yeah.
19.5. It was since the 90s?
Yes, mid-90s.
Mid-90s, the worst loss. Did you look at the Portland lineup?
Yes, I did not recognize it.
I never heard of any of them. I never heard of a Kazette. Anthony Simons, who was a really good player coming on. Lillard, obviously, they shut down.
They shut down everybody.
But they shut down everybody. And these anonymous. And Cat, I'd go to Cat now and say, Cat didn't talk to him. He had three shots.
Yeah.
Edwards took 30. Edwards, I don't blame him for being irritated when the eight guy takes 30 shots and you get three.
How do you lose that game?
You can't. You can't lose the game. Finchie, that could cost you your job, Finchie. That game. How can you go on a road, three-game series, three games. You beat Golden State. You beat Sacramento on a back-to-back. You could have beaten Phoenix. I mean, and ever since Rudy decided the refs were out to get us.
Yes.
Now, the first half against the Lakers, they played really good. They had 65 points. Connolly played great. Rudy was moving. Everybody was fine.
I was watching it.
Second half, horrible. And now horrible again. And, Who are they going to beat now? Who are they going to beat? It doesn't make any difference. San Antonio will beat them.
So explain the Lakers thing, because every story, not your column, but all of the stories led with the flu. We've all had the flu. We're all sick. They also had a big thing on when Anthony Davis went down and they didn't blow the whistle. That just really threw us off. What the hell?
Rudy saying he didn't want to dunk because Anthony Davis was laying on the floor.
Yeah.
Dunk it and let it hit him in the head.
I know.
What do we care? That was stupid. Rudy is an excuse-making son of a gun, isn't he?
It was the officials on Wednesday.
Yeah. It was not dunking.
And the flu. We were all so sick.
We were all sick.
And then yesterday there was finally no excuse.
What did we have? Did we still have the flu? I mean,
now it's a bad loss.
Edwards took 30. Bad loss?
Now it's a bad loss.
Bad loss does not even come
now
close.
Now it's a horrendous loss. Horrendous one of the worst loss in franchise history of a franchise.
But it's kind of fun, too, because we've now known they're still the Wolves. They're still a team. They're still a team that is going to. That is an embarrassment. There's still a franchise that's an embarrassment. It's when push comes to shove, they stink. And the Laker game, that place was jammed. They took down the curtain. They had 19,000 in there. They were in the game. First half, great.
And you could hear them.
They come out and they were playing the second half. They were playing soccer. They were kicking the ball all over the place. It's incredible.
What happened?
I don't know. Dennis Schroeder turned into the defensive whiz of all time. He started pressing them, and they couldn't handle it. And Edwards was non-existent that game. But here's what I'd do. I'd go to Cat and say, because Cat's going to want out. And, I say, Cat, if you come out and say you want to trade, we're not trading you. If you keep your mouth shut, we'll trade. We'll try to make a trade. But if you come out and everybody knows that we're trying to trade you.
Right. We're compromised.
Then we're going to get even less because they aren't going to get nearly what they, with him kicking off a $230 million contract, as we've been saying, they're not going to get that much. They're going to get maybe two ones spread out over 5 years and then, some player. They're going to have to take a player. But, unbelievable. Who would have ever thought saying, okay, we got Cat back, but I'd a hell of a lot rather have Naz Reid.
Yep.
You know, Naz Reid is fits better, you know.
Yes.
Naz Reid plays better than Rudy, you know. So.
Well, and the Gobert trade now, that's going to be the worst single trade in the history of professional sports in this town, including Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Herschel
was famous and it was bad, but they managed their personnel because they raided the USFL and they got a couple other things. They were able to, still be a talented team, without Hersh. But these guys, I wrote that about 2 months ago that it was the worst. It's going to be the all time bad. And then you were going, maybe not. But now it is. I mean, we're all praying, and I don't think the NBA will allow it, but it would be wonderful if the Jazz won the lottery. Wouldn't it? And got the Frenchman, the future of basketball in the universe. Wouldn't it be great?
And meanwhile, we got our, $7 million a year general manager?
Eight. 4 more years. I think it was a 5-year deal.
And you're right about Finch, too. Finch is that the amount of games they've lost to teams they have no business losing.
That one last night is inexcusable.
And he's got no answer. Like you saw that last night. He was pissed, but he has no answer.
No. But, Ant's active and doing all these things. But if he's not going to move the ball to anybody, sit him down. Yeah. Tell him, put somebody in and say, let's get Cat a few shots here and do something. But when they start choking in the fourth quarter, they can gag with the best of them, man.
Oh, God.
Unreal.
Friday, they just fell apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're right. The first half is impressive.
Yeah, they were, really good. I thought Connolly was making shots, and he must be saying.
Wouldn't you love to talk to him?
No, have him be honest.
Yeah.
He's obviously a pro,
Yes,
he's
exactly.
Obviously an adult.
Yes.
And he's got a, Cat, we try to blame it all on Cat and make Edwards, you don't want to put any blame on him. But if he was that sick Friday, he shouldn't have played because he was terrible. He did nothing. And then yesterday, he gets a bunch of points. So what? He shot 30 times. 30 times.
And then they gave it to your guy, Slow-Mo, for the last shot, and he threw the ball over the basket.
Yeah, well, Slow-Mo. Slow-Mo is a really good player as far as doing things. But that's the ugliest looking shot I've ever seen in my life.
And how is he taking it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Let's pick Kyle.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. What a fright. Are they down at home here? They got the Pelicans. Is that here?
No, I think that's.
They got San Antonio. Because they won't win in New Orleans.
They're at Brooklyn next.
Okay, they'll lose.
That's
that
their next game. I'll check. I think they are.
They got Brooklyn, San Antonio, and then home with the Pelicans. Yeah, home with the Pelicans to end the season.
I'm checking right now.
Let's get in that play-in game. Boy, oh boy.
Put the tarp back up. Put the tarps back up.
Yeah, you know how many people are going to show up for that play-in game? About 8,000.
I actually feel for the fans though, because Pat,
they've been good this year.
They've done a great job supporting. They want this thing to work so bad. There's more Wolves fans than I thought.
Yeah, there are. They are.
Yes.
I really
Sunday the 9th, the Pelicans. So 3 games left.
I really feel bad. I pretty much didn't watch them yesterday because I was watching the referee show from Dallas, but I should have really had Jim Pete on to explain. Was Jim Pete doing the game?
Yeah, it was Jim Pete and Marnie.
And Marnie, okay.
Yep.
Michael had another game or something?
I don't know. But
Jim Pete, I would have liked his misery down the stretch must have been fantastic.
They called it a terrible loss on the post game show with Katie and Kevin Lynch.
Oh, wow.
And Kevin Lynch and Jim were pretty despondent. I appreciated their. I feel like
no excuses.
I feel like the Wild wouldn't have given us the same satisfaction of this is what happened.
So there were no excuses.
No, they didn't really offer excuses.
Brutal. Well, if they could remember any of the names of the players that beat them, maybe they would have tried to come up.
Oh, yeah. If Portland had their lineup, it would have been different.
Yeah, or Tim Sharp.
They showed, you know, Pat, they showed on Friday night, teasing the Sunday game, they showed the Portland lineup, and below every name was out.
Oh, really?
So they basically teased it by saying, you know, here's Portland's cast of best players, and none of them are going to play.
Oh, wow.
Because I think they were so hopeful of, hey, tune in and watch the Timberwolves win by 20.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
So, I watched a lot of the women's basketball game.
I wanted to ask you about it. Okay.
The best team won, LSU, because they were playing, they were making shots. And they made 19% of their threes this season. And they must have made 50%. Yeah, they had a kid coming off the bench that made six or something.
Okay.
But it was the worst. You guys can confirm that I have said for 2-3 years, the worst thing about women's basketball is the quality of the officials.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one of the three officials. They had three women working a game because that was their big deal, that they were only going to have women work this Final Four. Well, that's fine. Lisa Jones had worked 11 Final Fours. But if you're going to have only women work the Final Four, don't take the two worst you can possibly find and put them with one veteran official and call it a refereeing crew. It was the damnedest. I was ripping it halfway through the first period saying that, you know, women's basketball officiating is horrible, but these people are going to bring pathetic to a new standard or something. Not because of Iowa calls, not because of LSU calls, but it was just unbelievable. It was just brutal. Little bit of contact, they'd call a foul. Next time down, somebody'd get thrown in a bear hug, they wouldn't call a foul. It was awful. I mean, you hate the – basketball's a hard, hard game to referee, and it's probably the women's game is probably harder because there's more contact of, you know, of lower on the floor and stuff. But it was brutal. It was unbelievable. You can't say enough bad things about that officiating. There's – Caitlin Clark, one of the Iowa players, gets a big foul. You know, I think might have been Zanano's the last one. And Caitlin Clark's got the ball, dead ball, and she kind of flips it behind her, gets teed up for her fourth foul. Meanwhile, Kim Mulkey is on the sidelines, dressed up like Bozo the Clown, running into officials, screaming, hollering, runs into an official. They don't even look at her. They must have said, they must have had somebody, their supervisor must have said, don't call any T's on Kim. She's just, that's just her. You know, that's just her acting like a complete idiot, which she has for 25 years. And somehow she gets, now this is a transfer portal team, but somehow she's, you know, she's a really effective coach, but she is a horrible human being on the sidelines, and I think a horrible human being in all, you know, because she basically patted herself on the back robustly before the how I've done this in the last in only 2 years, I don't know, you know, and but it's I mean, the now I was convinced it was they were the ones that got robbed, but the Zanano kid, the Watertown kid, who's the recipient of all the Caitlin Clark, she shoots layups because Clark's such a good passer.
Right.
And they gave her two cheap fouls right early. And just, I mean, they ruined the game. Everybody thought, the people cover women's basketball, I guess, are afraid to take it on. But everybody else on the outside took it on. I read a lot of game stories that didn't even refer to the officials or the problems. How much this tournament meant for women's basketball in the future. Well, anybody who tuned in for the first time Sunday and was a basketball fan, not going to watch again. They're not. I mean, because it was that bad. The officiating was that bad. It was fantastically lousy. You didn't watch it, did you, Declan?
He's walking away.
He's out of there. Okay. Anyway, it was incredible. It's an impossible game to officiate, but it's the NFL crew that calls everything.
Right.
Always err on the side of keeping your good players in the game, right?
Hard is it to train officials, though, to not be a complete embarrassment?
No, you watch the men's game. You watch the men's tournament. For the last several years, they had somebody saying, let them play, right? Now you watch the men's game, let them play.
Yeah.
That's going to be really important tonight because those two teams played defense, San Diego and UConn. But the women's game, they just celebrate the fact that, it's an all-women's crew for the three games, and they celebrate this stuff without taking into account that nobody's telling them how to officiate the game. Nobody's saying let them play. Because, that certainly wouldn't have been an advantage for Iowa. It's just that Iowa's good players gotten LSU had more depth. So when one of their players got in foul trouble, they had somebody just as good. A lot of taunting going on, though. That was good. LSU.
Yeah, and the fans were very upset. Twitter was very upset.
But Clark plays that way.
I know she does.
You
know who else?
Now, although I will say this, you can't see me, whatever that is. Is that out of John? That's out of wrestling, I think.
I have no idea.
It's out of wrestling. Clark did a little one of those at the end of the game.
Yep.
South Carolina. Well, it wasn't like the kid on the free throw line from LSU going,
But people were so upset about this.
I know.
If a guy did it, we'd think, oh, man, look at that guy. Yeah.
Now, there is one that got, when the game was still in doubt. Mm-hmm. One of the, there's this other gesture that they make in basketball now that I didn't know about. Too small, you're too small.
Yeah.
Yeah, down there. Now, that in the middle of the game, that kid did that, and that's an automatic. I talked to somebody, and that's an automatic T if you see something like that.
Okay.
But I guess they can do what the referees did in that Lakers, Celtics Wolves game when the coach ran down onto the other side of the court and they said they didn't see it.
Yep.
Even the guy was standing next to him. I guess you could just say you didn't see it. But I wouldn't get. The way the LSU shot the ball, they were the best team.
So is Clark coming out or is she staying?
Oh, no, she's staying. She's going to be a senior, and she might stay, too. She told somebody the money isn't that much different. If she came out.
I believe that.
Yeah. Well, she got Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
And she got one of the shoe companies.
That's what I said about Paige.
And she got one of the apparel
Becker's
companies. Well, she got Hy-Vee. She got one of the
Hy-Vee's a good one.
Shoe company, one of the apparel companies. And she's going to have twice as much after this as she had. I mean, if she was making $400,000 this year, she can make $1 million next year, don't you think?
Yes.
She's probably the biggest name in college basketball.
She is.
Today.
I was just going to say that. Yep, no question.
And now she's not the social butterfly, I don't think, that a lot of the women athletes are. So the Instagram, they're not the.
Right.
Like the two kids from Miami and stuff like that. But, I mean, she's a huge name now.
So. No, she wants to kick your ass.
Oh, God, yeah.
She doesn't want to dance around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, she reminds me of, from a demeanor standpoint, what Waylon was like.
I was
with that glare.
I was taunting Jace Frederick and some other guys at the game Friday night saying, I said, none of you guys, until I went to Iowa last February.
Sorry, tweet. Is this when you decided to take credit
when
on Twitter?
I went to January.
When I did
when
this.
I went to
when I found
Iowa,
Caitlin.
When I went to Iowa and was so impressed with her game against Michigan that I drove to Des Moines, her high school. Then I drove to Iowa City. Just none of you people had ever heard of her.
It's very Sid-like of you taking credit.
And Jace Frederick said, not even when she scored 30 a game as a freshman. I said, I found her. And then when I tweeted that out, I put down, you're correct. Sometimes I even amaze myself.
I saw a tweet.
And, you know, doing that on Twitter is really stupid because people don't, you know, I mean,
oh, no,
half the people
it.
Think you're actually
yes.
actually saying that, you know. But, yeah, well, anyway, that was I would say I've always kind of contended that NFL officials can screw up a game and decide a game more than any group, more than plate umpires, more than baseball.
Yeah.
But I would guess – There are nights when basketball games can really be screwed up if the women or men just start calling too many fouls.
So, oh, absolutely.
And then is it a coincidence, by the way, that the team went in the tank after Rudy decided that the only reason they lost at Phoenix was the
well, like I said, that just led to the next excuse. Like, that's the thing is,
yep.
if you're going to fall back on, the official screwed
then
us, and then
sick.
We were sick.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to come out like you did against Portland and roll out there and do nothing,
and then there's no excuse. Then you have to say, yeah, we stink. Unbelievable. So,
but for the price that they gave up for Gobert, it is, I did not realize that there was, like, this is what you get.
Now, Glenn Taylor is selling the team cheap. Considering the way prices are going,
yes.
$1.5 billion, but considering they're missing four of their next seven draft choices and actually flip flopping another one that they kept, right? Mm-hmm. He might have got the right price because, ladies and gentlemen, we're back in the tank again, aren't we?
Well, and that leads to the next thing that I saw you tweeted about. The next story that did not appear on the sports page, but rather the, I believe, Metro section of the Star Tribune, which is the Vikings' attempt to milk more money from taxpayers. And you know why? Because they knew the Wolves were coming next.
Yes, that's
I'm telling you, they're
true.
Trying to get in line in front of the Wolves.
We have to make these, we have to keep up. They got this commission. It might as well be Les Bagley speaking, but it's the commission is his stooges, you know. That thing is 7 years old. If you want some updates, Vikings, what are we updating? We got to keep up with the updates. One of the ribbon boards, we got to spend $14 million for. If the Vikings want a rib to improve their computer in there, pay for it.
We are also now saying 7 years in, the system needs to be replaced.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
The Gophers have had this one. They're finally going to replace it since 2009.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know.
That's their problem. Well, it's perfectly fine.
They want their money.
They want us to pay for it. They're making $200 million a year profit. And no matter what the books show, these guys, when they buy a team, they take out a complete loan. And then they take that loan out of the profits all the time. So they're making when you look at the NFL revenues, they can't be making less than $200 million a year.
Well, look at what the Packers make.
Yeah.
That's
but
the
Packers, but then they all, you know, and they get it down to 80 or something like that. But that number doesn't count, you know.
But the Packers are doing very well, is what I'm saying.
But the Packers end up paying for their own stuff, too, right? The Packers, if they want to improve Lambeau and do stuff like that.
I think Brown County pays for it.
Does something?
Yeah.
No,
this is an extortion of each team attempts.
Yeah.
I love this one. I believe, what was the price Rochelle Olson wrote that it even cost for HOK to come here and do it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well over $1 million, right?
It was I thought it was $500,000. But anyway, it's very expensive for them to look at your house.
This is $280 million. $280 million over 10 years, which is, and I ripped it, you know, on Twitter, and I got these excuse makers. We got to maintain it so we don't have to build another one in 30 years. This team, he paid $600 million for it. You can sell it today for $6 billion. You can sell it for $6 billion with that stadium.
And I got news for you. In 30 years, you're going to want a new one because buildings can't possibly keep up with that. So like in 30
years, it may not be football. But
yeah, who knows? But my point is, this is one of the greatest. I saw that story and thought, this is what the Royce is going to love. In fact, I texted you instantly.
Yeah, I got me on it. I hadn't seen it. I mean, because it was going to run on Sunday. Didn't it run?
I just saw it online.
We posted it like a day early or something. So Rochelle stays on top of that. Vikings extortion.
She's with you on.
Well, she really gets along with Les and the commissioner.
Lester's the greatest.
Yeah. Lester is not even, isn't even.
He's still employed.
Yeah, but it's a different.
By the Wilfs. I mean, I don't know what.
Yeah.
What his exact title is now.
If they're going to the Capitol for, $28 billion or so, whatever. They're going to the Capitol. You know what? The Capitol. We have a $17 billion surplus, but it's only a one-time deal. So we got to raise, my party is. I don't know. They're losing.
Yeah, I saw you trying to walk the fine line.
I'm never, I can announce here today, I'll never vote for a Republican. Not unless he or she comes out and says, I'm pro-choice. I'm not going to mention my Christian values. And I think Donald Trump was the biggest jackass that ever lived. Then I might consider it. But until then, yeah. I'm just going to sit up. If all of a sudden my license fee goes from $350 to $1,000, I'm out. I'm not voting in local elections anymore. I'm done.
Are you just going to abstain, or are you going to find another
no,
party?
No, I'm going to vote for federal. Right. I'm going to vote for federal. It doesn't. Voting for a third party doesn't do any good.
I would love to know what the Wolves' reaction was, though, because you know what's going to happen here.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, the loss to Portland and stuff like that don't help you.
But here's the deal. The same thing could happen to Minneapolis that happened to Chicago with the Bears leaving town and going out to the suburbs.
Yep.
They're going to try to make a deal in the suburbs.
I told you that. I agree completely.
That would create a great big vacancy in a downtown city that doesn't need it. That's for sure.
You know where there's a lot of land available, don't you?
Where?
In Eagan. Near the Vikings facility.
Yes, that's right.
With a lot of parking.
Yes.
Which if you get, now the thing there, if you're the Wolves, and you build there, and you have control of the parking lot. Because I think right now, they don't see a dime from parking, right?
No.
There's nowhere to park that's theirs.
No, that's...
So if you have a big old parking
lot... Yeah, like the Twins.
Lot,
that's what the Twins do, is Twins don't get a parking lot.
I've been saying, I think the suburbs are a... I think there's a better chance that the Wolves are in the suburbs than if they stay downtown, it's great. But I don't know.
What do you do with that building?
Oh God, it's a nightmare.
I mean, you can't be the third building bidding for concerts and stuff like that.
The building's probably gone then.
Yeah, but.
But what does Minneapolis do? I have no clue.
What do the poor Twins do? They're sitting down there all by themselves.
I know.
You know what we could do? We could get a soccer stadium down there right behind Target Field. Oh wait, we already screwed that one up.
Yeah, that was a big swing and a miss. By the way,
Betsy bike, but we got a very nice bike lane. So bike lane Betsy,
right in the farmers market. I mean, what's better than soccer fans and the farmers market and craft beer?
Yes,
there's nothing more pretentious than the farmers market.
What I still can't figure out what her logic was. It was going to cost the city about. They were going to give them a tax break and then improving roads and stuff might have cost them $10-15 million. Unbelievable. What an idiot. What a moron.
Yeah, that was a big mess.
If this guy now had been mayor, they would have had it. I mean, everybody's ripping him for various reasons, but he would have been smart enough to say, yes, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Minneapolis got to take anything he can get. Mm-hmm. And, boy, that'll be something if they, what would they do? If they could get the city to build on its site, they'd have to play in St. Paul for 3 years, right?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years for sure.
But the good thing is, I think if you build a new basketball arena downtown, you get the Gophers too. Like the Yum Center in Louisville now. Yeah. And the similarity to Louisville, of course, is they went 4-29 this year.
Yeah, so yeah, but they got our guy.
They got our
bastards.
They got, yeah.
Dennis Evans. They stole him.
They stole him. But I think that's what you got to do, right? Is make it a, you know,
put right. The,
first of all, you should build it smaller. It should be like,
well,
15,000, yeah, right? 15,000, 16,000
sure.
Is enough. And then, you know, but get the Gophers over there. Get them out of the dump. Get them out of there.
The real question I have is this. Why did they remodel Target Center?
Well, because nobody was going to pony up the money, which back then would have been about $500 or $600 million. Now it's twice that.
You know, that building, though, I mean, it's a dump.
Yeah, it's...
relative to what buildings are like
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it is. Well, Phoenix has got the same problem, you know. Phoenix did it a couple of years before we did.
Yeah.
They just redid the old stadium, old arena.
Milwaukee's just tore theirs down and built a nice new one.
Pfizer, yeah. But they got... yeah, that's right. The one previously was the one that was almost privately built, right? What was the name of the guy that... Build the family that built it.
Oh, Pettit. Lloyd Pettit and his family.
Yeah.
Bradley his Center, wife, which is the 1 year before, I think, Target Center.
And his wife
yes.
had the money, right?
Yes.
Lloyd Pettit.
Yeah, I think it was Jane.
Money. Oh, yeah, Bradley something or other.
And Lloyd had been, what, the voice of the Blackhawks for years? But I just, you know, this place, there are more seats in the upper deck. We've talked about this before. You know, when you built a building with more seats in the upper deck, no matter why you did it,
unbelievable.
No matter why you did it, you need to start over at some point.
Especially for basketball.
Yeah.
What's going on down there?
Because we'll have more cheap tickets. The fans are going to want more cheap tickets.
What's going on down there? Did anybody see that? Oh, boo, they've called a foul. I can't see it.
I can't see a damn thing.
Yeah. All right. What? How about our Wild? Are we worried about them, or are we still super confident?
No, I'm not.
Hey, Kaprizov was at the basketball game Friday night. He was moving pretty good. Although, it looks like he's ready to go.
Although, Dex, tell Patrick what you tweeted out, because this was interesting.
Hey, you should look at the screenshot I tweeted out.
Yes.
His left ankle is about four times the size as his right ankle.
So it was an ankle injury as much as a hamstring?
I guess.
I think it's in swelling that's obviously somewhat down there. His leg is clearly swollen. Now he was skating at practice on Monday morning for the first time. So he put skates on.
He was moving fairly good when I was walking in behind him, but I didn't look at his legs. So,
you didn't try to sweep the leg behind him?
No.
Would have been a good time to know some Russian.
That's right.
Yes, it would have. It would have. But I bet he was, Justin Jefferson was there too.
Yeah, that was a star-studded choke by the Wolves in front of
I don't know how many of those fellas showed up Sunday to see that, the fiasco of all time.
What a
Johnny K, who's a pretty good supporter of the team, was down too, man. He basically said, no excuses. You can't blame the referees for this one.
And this was the Sunday one?
It's the Sunday's game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad there were no excuses.
Yes. All righty. Baseball, congratulations. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred will never be Turkey of the Year after this thing, I'll tell you that.
All right.